Good afternoon and welcome to the 330 Sports Show. My name is Justin Coffin. Today is Thursday, December 15th, 2022. We're going to get into a lot of Cleveland Browns stuff here in a minute. They play the Baltimore Ravens in 2 days, just about 48 hours from now. They will play at, I believe it's 4 o'clock or a 4:30 kickoff on Saturday in Cleveland, one of their final two remaining home games. And this will be Deshaun Watson's first home game in front of the Cleveland fans as he gets back into it. As you can see, as of last check, the Browns were a 3-point favorite. And look at that over under 37.5 points for this game. The weather, like today, not very pretty. Today literally is about the ugliest, worst kind of weather day. I would rather have it be snowing than cold rain. Just about the worst kind of weather when you look outside. It's just dreary, ugly, whatever. It is what it is, but it is also mid-December in Ohio. We are 10 days from Christmas, so happy holidays to everyone out there. And again, appreciate you guys watching the 330 Sports Show. Make sure, if you can, if you're able, if you think someone might be interested in, again, we talk a lot of Browns, a lot of Guardians, a lot of Cavs, a lot of Ohio State Buckeyes on this show. Not to mention a lot of other, just like some fun topics. We're going to do some Christmas movie stuff here. With the passing of Mike Leach the other day, we're going to do the best of coaches draft you'd want to have a drink with. So we're just going to have some fun over the holiday season as we transition from football and holiday stuff into college football playoff and the NFL playoffs coming up soon. But let's get into the Cleveland Browns, as we talked about. So again, they will take on the 9-4 division leading Baltimore Ravens, and the Browns sitting at 5-8. Playoff hopes all but gone, but you never know. There is like a 0.5 or 0.7% chance, and you know, you're telling me there's a chance. So the best thing for the Browns to do is go out and win some games and put a little bit of, you know, hope into the season as we go. And hey, maybe you win out and things fall the right way, but I'm not saying that's going to happen. But the best thing the Browns can do is just go out there, play some good football, and, you know, just see where the cards lie at the end of the day. All right, so let's just, as I mentioned, look at the remaining schedule here. You have the Baltimore Ravens at home this Saturday, Christmas Eve. So in 1 week, you're going to play back-to-back Saturday games. You will have the New Orleans Saints coming to town. That will be the final home game of the season, which is just crazy. New Year's Day, which usually is, you know, designated for college football, but if it's on a Sunday, it's gonna be the NFL. The NFL owns the entire day of the week, which is Sunday. But they will play at Washington on New Year's Day, and then to end the schedule, they will play at the Pittsburgh Steelers in not Heinz Field anymore. I was at Acrisure Stadium. So Deshaun Watson will have you know, a warm welcome, I'm sure, and a happy new year sent by the Pittsburgh faithful to Acrisure Stadium as we move forward. But let's focus in on the Baltimore Ravens, the former Cleveland Browns. You know, I personally, the Steelers are a more hated rival to me than the Baltimore Ravens, the former Browns. But, you know, the Ravens are a very close second to me. But you know, we're going to get into the Browns offense versus the Ravens defense, and the Ravens offense versus the Browns defense, and could be missing quarterback Lamar Jackson in this game. It looks like he will not play, and Tyler Huntley, we'll talk about him, the backup quarterback, which is in concussion protocol but has seen the practice field. All right, so Deshaun Watson, between game one and game two, marketed improvement, you know, only 12 of 22 in game one for 131 yards, seven rushes for 21 yards. Game two, you look at the improvement in numbers, 26 of 42, 62%, 276 yards, one touchdown, one interception, and six rushes for 33 yards. Joe, I'm getting the hang of this. This is, I like it. So, Joe, it's that time. It's that time of the week when we do our did you know Nick Chubb question. So okay. Did you know when Nick Chubb carries the ball 20 or more times, the Browns are 4-0.
Somebody should tell Stefanski. He needs to know that.
Literally, if Kevin Stefanski just listened to us, you know, maybe the Browns would win some more games. When Nick Chubb carries the ball less than 20 times, the Browns are 1-8. That one win, coming in that Houston game just a couple weeks ago. But just run the ball. And this, if the weather is like this weekend, no one wants to, I mean, this is just miserable to look at.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure on Lake Erie, the wind and, you know, the rain and whatever precipitation they might throw at you is not going to be pretty. So
Do Ravens fly, by the way? I need to know.
Ravens unfortunately fly. Yeah. So, but the Browns have beat them, you know, a flying bird. But you know, Baltimore is not infallible either. So they can be beaten. So we'll see. So let's take a look at the Baltimore offense versus the Browns defense in this matchup. So, you know, we're not going to get into each and every detail, but the Ravens score about 23 points a game. The Browns give up, unfortunately, about 25 points a game. The Ravens are 12th overall in scoring offense. Browns 27th in scoring defense. Both teams middle of the pack in yards per game. Baltimore about 347 yards, you know, through the air and on the ground. And the Browns give up about 344 yards, which is 17th, right in the middle of the pack there. Baltimore is just ahead of the Browns with rushing, 162 yards a game. And but they don't throw for a lot. So again, the Browns secondary can maybe, you know, hopefully play on an island a little bit to get up there and stop that running game. And if Lamar Jackson is not going to play a whole lot in this game, I think that is obviously to your advantage. And I listed there, the Browns are kind of about middle of the pack there. They have 27 sacks on the season with Myles Garrett being the team leader with them. So again, I mentioned Baltimore. I do not believe they will be without Lamar Jackson. Tyler Huntley, the backup quarterback, he actually came in last year. If you remember when the Ravens played in Cleveland last year, Lamar Jackson actually went down with an injury. Huntley came in and actually played pretty well, but the Browns were able to win that game. So let's take a look on the opposite side of the field. So the Browns offense versus the Ravens defense. The Browns about 23 points a game to the Ravens 19 points allowed. Browns are number 13 overall in points scored on offense. Ravens top 10, they're number 8 in points allowed. Obviously the Browns are doing a nice job in total yardage, 369 yards in total yards. The rushing game has dipped of late. They were number 1 for a long time, then dropped to number 3 and then 4 and then now 5. 150 yards per game. So still not bad, top 5, but Baltimore only allows 81 yards per game on the ground. So this is a very formidable defense. And if you remember, they held Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb in check last season in particular. And this season didn't have a huge game either. So Joe, I was saying it while you were out of the room, but Ravens or Steelers, more hated rival?
For me personally?
Yeah, for you.
I'm going to say Steelers just forever.
Yeah, no doubt. And now, okay, so would you put Baltimore second as most hated team?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense with, like, you know, the former Browns. Aren't Modell moving them there? Now, most of these players that are on the team were probably, like, really super young when that move happened, if some of them not even born yet, right. You know, but it's still a thing in Cleveland fans, you know, lore that will always be, well, they stole our team. You know, that city stole our team.
Well, I hate the team. I hated Modell and I hated Harbaugh. So, I mean, I had the trifecta.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually will say I do respect John Harbaugh. I don't love his brother, Jim, as we all know, but you want to hear something really, really weird that's been bantied about on Twitter and some Browns social media stuff. So Kevin Stefanski, we talked about on Tuesday, has been on the hot seat a little bit, right? So somebody said, okay, well, if you're going to fire Kevin Stefanski, first of all, I'm not in that camp. I don't think he should be fired. I actually think he's a pretty good coach if all the things are going right. So do you have a guess at maybe a name that was thrown out there for a potential Browns?
If you say Jim, I would not be a Browns fan. I couldn't do it.
Jim Harbaugh's name was thrown out there as a potential replacement to Kevin Stefanski.
Dude, they can't do it.
So I was listening to a Browns radio show this morning, 92.3 in Cleveland. And they were throwing out his record. They said Jim Harbaugh as the 49ers coach was 44-19 as a head coach. Got him to a Super Bowl, had a running quarterback with Alex Smith and then Colin Kaepernick. I'm not saying I like the idea, but I'm not saying I hate it either.
I'll be a Dolphins fan.
But with all the people that are like, well, I'm off the Browns. You know, with the Deshaun Watson thing, and then Jim Harbaugh comes in, and obviously it's in Ohio, Cleveland, an Ohio State hotbed, you know, only about 2 hours up the road from Columbus. So that was a name that's thrown out there. Obviously the big name that's out there that everyone wants a piece of is Sean Payton, the former Saints coach, but I don't know. But I'm just saying, unless you have this, like, it's hard to even say guarantee, unless you have this huge name coach that's going to come right in and replace Stefanski. It's like, why get rid of him?
That's not where we're hemorrhaging. I assure you.
Yeah. Defensive coordinator. Yes. Perhaps special teams. Oh yeah. Get rid of him. Mike Prefer gone. So that's just my opinion. So yeah. So we'll go there. All right. Let's take a look at last week. This week, Ravens last week beat Pittsburgh 16-14. This week, obviously at the Cleveland Browns. Bengals last week, we all know, beat the Browns 23-10. This week, they will travel to Tampa to take on the Buccaneers. The Browns last week, again, lost to the Bengals. This week, host the Ravens. And then the Steelers last week. So it was all AFC North last week. The Steelers lost to the Ravens. This week, they travel to the Carolina Panthers. So that's a look at the AFC North, what's going on. Let's take a look at the AFC playoff picture as it's sort of coming into the, you know, we say in the hunt. I think the Browns are in the Kareem hunt right now. They're not actually in the hunt with their 0.5% chance. But right now, Buffalo is the number one seed. You have Kansas City, the number two seed. Baltimore currently is the number three seed. You have, we're talking about playoff teams and the Browns. So we're breaking out some bourbon. It's well needed. So cheers. We got some new Riff back here. If you haven't had new Riff, by the way, very good. Right across the river from Cincinnati.
Yeah. I was really impressed. So that's really good.
It's pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff. So those are your top four right now in the AFC. And then your wild cards, if the playoffs began today, would be the Bengals and the 5 seed, Dolphins 6 seed, Patriots 7 seed. In the hunt, I have, this is my own definition of this, the Jets and the Chargers. To me, those are the only teams that are truly actually in the hunt, because the Jets are 7-6 winning record, Chargers 7-6. If you look at all the other teams, Jaguars, Raiders, Browns, Steelers, all the same record at 5-8 across the board, probably not likely to make the playoffs. And then cross them out, the Colts, who kind of have surprised me in a bad way this year, the Broncos, who have been absolutely horrible this year, and then the Texans. So if you look at the Broncos, they don't have their first round draft pick this year, which is crazy. And a couple other teams, the Raiders don't have their first round draft pick. Obviously we know the Browns don't. So there's going to be some teams with a couple different high first round draft picks for different squads this year. So that will be a very, very interesting thing come draft time, but not quite ready for that. So
do you have any teams that surprise you on the good and bad as far as record goes?
I would say good surprise of late, Detroit Lions. Mm. They started 1-6, and I think they've won their last five games. So the Lions, definitely a nice surprise this year. Minnesota Vikings have been really, really good this year throughout the season. Trying to think who else. I actually thought the Titans might be down a little bit this year, but they've still doing a nice job. So those would probably be, and the Dolphins. The Dolphins are, it was kind of a matter of is Tua going to be the quarterback we thought, and he's obviously surpassed expectations. So I think the Dolphins would be in that camp. The Eagles.
What about surprise stinker?
Denver, number one. Denver, I thought would at least make the playoffs. You have. Everyone said they were just a quarterback away. They're just a quarterback away. Look at all these weapons. They lost their running back. That hurts. But every team's got two or three running backs, it feels like. So Denver has been the biggest disappointment to me. Green Bay has really, finally, I think, the Aaron Rodgers era is kind of coming to an end, or at least we think it is. It's very close. The Raiders have kind of been up and down this year. Tampa Bay has been a little bit of, but they still very well could win their division and be an 8-9 wild card team. So we'll see what Tampa does. How about you? Any surprises, good or bad?
I'm with you. I'm underwhelmed. It's good to see some new teams. I like the playoffs to be shooken up every once in a while.
Yeah.
And if it's the Patriots and freaking Giants every stinking year,
right.
I'm about done with that.
Yeah. You know? I will actually say one team, two that I just thought of, the New York Jets. They've been a good, because when they played the Browns, they had lost opening week to Baltimore. They played the Browns and the Browns dominated that game. Obviously we know the Jets came back and won, but the Jets are 7-6. They beat the Bills this year. They beat some really good teams this year. And they're in the hunt for a playoff spot. So, and they have a really nice roster. Their quarterback is a big question, but they have a really nice roster. And
I'll tell you this though, I knew the Eagles would do well. I didn't know they would do this well.
That's a good point too. Yeah. Yeah. They've been very, very solid this year. One of the best rosters in all of football. So, Joe, you want to make some picks this week?
Sure.
So let's just go. Every team is playing this week, so we're going to pick 16 games here. So my picks are going to be listed. And, Joe, I think literally every Thursday night, I feel like for the season, I'm doing okay. 110, 65, and 1. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And, again, these are straight-up picks. But I feel like I'm about 0-14 on Thursday night football because every week it just throws you a curveball. So
think if you're putting $100 on every game that you pick this year, you'd be doing really well.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. That's true. So if, or with a Thursday night game, what I can start doing is take the George Costanza method, whatever you were going to do, bet the opposite.
Right.
But then
I'd overthink it. I'm thinking, what if my opposite was really where I was going? Now I have to do the opposite of my opposite.
Oh,
and I'm
man.
Back to where I,
it's a double negative. So what is that called in math when it's you multiply a negative and a negative, you get a positive, it's like that. So
yeah, it's coin flip. Just do it.
Yeah, exactly. Just at the end of the day, don't put too much stock in what we're saying.
Please
but overall, I think we're more accurate than not.
There was a sports radio host that was picked numbers from the very beginning. And mm-hmm. I bet all of his picks because he had above 50% average and he was doing really well. And then he went on a streak of badness and he started feeling really bad. I broke even. So it was no big deal, but it was fun. How his demeanor changed when there was money riding.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I will say this, I'm going to look right at that camera and say it. The number one rule of gambling is do not expect to make any money. That's should be a hobby. Just like if you go to the movies or if you go to a concert, it's something to do for your entertainment value.
It does make the game more interesting when you have money on it.
That is 100%. But again, entertainment value. What else can you do for, let's just hypothetically say you're betting $100 on five games. So you got $500 out there. Let's say you even go 2 and 3. It costs you $100. Let's just say hypothetically you're down 100, but you had a full entertainment filled day with ups and downs and goods and bads and all that stuff.
And so you honestly, in no other place will you develop hatred for kickers more than betting.
That's an excellent point. That is an excellent, excellent point. So, and what are we? Let's say the 15th. So we are 17 days away from legalized sports betting in the state of Ohio. Mm-hmm. And I know right down the road at Covelli, they'll have a betting. I don't know if it's going to be a kiosk or what it is, if they're going to actually have, we're going to have to talk to them. We're going to get them on the show.
That's the question from before now, were you and I betting illegally?
Well, I'm just having some fun with us. You can drive right across the border into Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's what you were doing. You were driving across the border.
You just drive over to Pennsylvania.
I didn't realize you were driving across the border. We're good.
Yeah, it's all good fun. It's all good fun. But the thing that is like money has just been hemorrhaging from the state of Ohio. Because what is it? Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. Indiana, New York, Illinois, Michigan. I don't know about Kentucky. I don't think Kentucky is one, but all those bordering states, people are spending hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. And you multiply by how many people are betting, and it could be, that's a lot of money. And, sure. I'm sure it all goes to good funds, not pocketing politicians or, you know, corrupt anything. Yeah. So, all right, moving on. So let's get to the Thursday night game tonight. It is in Seattle, by the way. We have had on our show G. Scott Sr., who is the host of the Seattle Seahawks in-game entertainment. So he is out in Seattle. So he will be doing this game for the Seattle Seahawks. But the 49ers, obviously a local connection here with the Yorks and DeBartlow's that have owned the 49ers for many, many years. They will travel to Seattle. So I am taking the 49ers. And you were talking about surprise teams. I think the Seahawks have really been a surprise team too throughout this year. A lot of people thought they might be one of the worst teams in the league. They have a above 500 record, challenging for the playoffs. But I think the 49ers, I don't know the status of Brock Purdy, who is like their third string quarterback now coming in. So I don't know if he's going to play or not, but I think the 49ers roster top to bottom is better and the 49ers win tonight. What say you?
I'm with 49ers and shoot a question at you. Do you think that's where Baker ends up?
You mean next year?
Yeah.
That's not outside of the realm of possibilities. Right, so I don't know how long Jimmy G's around. I don't know. I think this Brock Purdy kid's just as good if not anybody, but he was Mr. Irrelevant in the draft, which means he was the last player selected in the draft, but he's a pretty darn good quarterback.
I was that guy in kickball. That feels bad.
Mr. Irrelevant. You don't want to be Mr. Irrelevant in a lot of things. So
you start doubting yourself a bit.
So that is our pick. We're both going with the 49ers in that game. Saturday, we have three Saturday games, including obviously the Browns and the Baltimore Ravens. The Browns are favorites in this game. I've seen it as low as 2.5. I've seen it as high as 3. 3 was the last number I saw. So I'm going to go with the Browns just being at home. I think they want to, you know, get that revenge against the Ravens, losing that close one in Baltimore early in the season. Deshaun Watson playing in this game, his first game in Cleveland. So I'm going to go with the Browns in this game.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Browns too. I think he really starts to get control of this offense. I don't necessarily have much faith the defense to do much here, but it might be an outdoing on the offensive side.
I will say one thing about the Browns defense though. I feel like the Browns defense has been built to play Baltimore and Cincinnati. They always seem to play well against those teams. For whatever reason, I don't know if it's like the drafting of the corners and the athletic linebackers, which, by the way, we're out like five linebackers this right. whole year because of knee injuries and whatnot. But yeah, we'll see. So
well, you don't know if the Browns that miss assignments are going to show up or the ones that play man and just dominate. Mm-hmm. So I have to take it out of the equation and say, can the offenses go head to head and we can outscore them? That's
okay.
where I'm going with the Browns.
Okay. And to be announced on the weather, it doesn't look like it's going to be pretty, but I think the Browns have the better of the two rushing attacks, especially without Lamar Jackson playing. Mm-hmm. But Baltimore is very stout against the run. So we'll see on that game. But we're both going the Browns. Next game, the Indianapolis Colts at the Minnesota Vikings. Oh, by the way, real quick note on the Browns. Because if you see on the face mask is brown. Sometimes it's gray. Did you see they're bringing back the white face mask? Mm-hmm. So
interesting.
But I saw a funny meme. I didn't put it in here, but it said like $230 million quarterback that half the fans don't like. No one likes the owners. Coaching staff on the hot seat. Oh, but we brought in the white face mask. That's gonna fix everything. So yeah,
if you got turds in your front yard, go paint them.
White turds. Wasn't that a thing in Step Brothers? They made Will Ferrell like eat a white turd in that movie. Anyway, moving on to another Saturday game, the Indianapolis Colts traveling to the Minnesota Vikings. I think this game's easy. And by the way, guys, we're just picking these straight up, not with no spreads. I'm going the Vikings in this game.
100%.
Okay, so we are 3-for-3 in our picks here. The Miami Dolphins travel to the Buffalo Bills. I like the Bills to win this game based on just being mid-December in Buffalo. Miami got them the first time. I think Buffalo gets them this time.
I'm going with Miami because it's my runner-up team once the Browns get Jim Harbaugh in there.
Okay. All right. So Joe is on Miami. I am on Buffalo. Now to the Sunday games. We have Philadelphia at the Chicago Bears. I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Same here.
I think they're just too good this year. The next game, Detroit at the New York Jets. I really wanted to pick the Lions, but I went with the Jets in this one. Joe, what do you say?
Yeah, I'm the same thing. I think it's a big coin flip game, but I'm going to go with the Jets on this.
Okay. Yeah, I think that this game surprisingly could be one of the better games of the weekend. All right, next one up, we have the Pittsburgh Steelers traveling to Charlotte to take on the Carolina Panthers. I'm going to go with the Panthers, even though the Steelers have been playing some good football of late. I don't even know who's playing quarterback right now for the Panthers, but that's who I'm going with. Joe, what say you?
I'm going to take a path not usually taken here, and I'm going to go with a tie.
Oh, okay. Joe going with that would be awesome. If you hit that... I wonder what the odds you would get on a tie. That's got to be like plus 10,000 at least. So, okay.
Money in the bank.
Throw 10 bucks on that this weekend. Right. Put 10 bucks. And if it happens.
I have to go across the border to do it. Right?
Yeah. You might know some people. I don't know. I don't know if they're taking tie bets, but we'll see. Next game, we don't even need to discuss, but Kansas City. I guarantee you're going 100%. Kansas City. All right. And then we got an NFC South battle. You got Atlanta at New Orleans. I'm taking the Saints.
I'll take the Saints with you.
Saints as well. Cowboys at Jacksonville. Jacksonville's playing some good football of late, but I'm going to go with the Cowboys on the road in this game.
I'll go with Jacksonville.
Okay. Next one. This one was hard for me to pick because I can't stand the Broncos. But I am going to pick the Broncos because they were down 27-0 last week against the Chiefs, came back and made it a one score game late where the Chiefs had to sweat it out a little bit. But with the Cardinals, Cliff Kingsbury, their head coach, is on the hot seat. And Kyler Murray tore his ACL. He is out for the year. So I think it's our old friend Colt McCoy that might be quarterbacking the Arizona Cardinals. But with that said, I'm going with the Broncos to win.
All right. I'm going with the Cardinals because Cotton, they ain't got nothing to lose.
Okay. All right. That's a bold prediction there, Joe. Let's see how it pans out. I liked it. Do you like that I picked that up?
I loved it. All right. I loved it.
All right. A couple more Sunday games here. We have the McDaniels Bowl. You got New England playing their former offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels, the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. I am going to go with Las Vegas in this one.
I'm going to go with the Patriots.
Okay. Okay. Any reason?
I'm not a fan of Oakland. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's Las all right. Vegas, it's Las all right. Vegas. It's all right. I still say, I still do that with, the Chargers still. And it's been like 5 years.
It's so. Jacobs Field, Gundarena, and all that kind of stuff. Exactly. Once I get in on it, that's its name forever.
Yeah. Hey, we're rocking with the, you're going with the, Oakland Raiders.
I'm going with the Oakland.
Even though they're playing in Vegas, it doesn't matter. Exactly. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. They're just there on holiday.
Okay. Okay. All right, we got the Tennessee Titans, formerly the Houston Oilers, taking on the former San Diego Chargers, now the Los Angeles Chargers, in this game. I know, it's just so much movement. Mm. By the way, is there a cooler former logo than the old Houston Oilers logo? That was literally, I think that might have been my favorite logo in all the NFL previous to them moving. So
I took Deb when we were early dating. The first football game she ever went to was Municipal Stadium versus the Houston Oilers, and it was sleet raining the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
She just spent the entire time buckled over because it was about negative 7 degrees.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, it will probably be like that this weekend.
Yeah, for sure.
So in this game, who you got, the Titans or the Chargers? I'm going Chargers.
Yeah, I'll go Chargers with you.
Okay. And then we have the former AFC champs, knocked off the Browns last week, the Bengals taking on the Buccaneers. I'm going to go Bengals in this one on the road. All right. And then two more games. You have an NFC East battle. You got the Giants and the Washington Commanders. The Commanders playing good football of late. I'm going to go with the Commanders to win this game.
I'm going to go with the Commandos.
Commandos. Or Commies. Whatever.
Commies.
Whatever. They have defected of playing some bad football. Now they're playing some decent football. And then finally, Monday night, two teams that are both, again, you were asking about disappointments. I mean, LA Rams. I mean, how can we forget them? They've won the Super Bowl last year. Now they're, I think, 4-9, and Baker Mayfield's playing quarterback for them now. No, you know, Aaron Donald's out right now. You got Cooper Kupp out right now. So with that said, I'm going to go with another disappointing team and take the Packers in this game.
All right. I'll go with the Rams here.
All right.
Me and Baker are going into the weekend.
Joe is a Baker bro.
I am.
At least this weekend. So, so if you were a female, would you be a Baker ho?
Yes, you would. See, I always bring the worst out in you. I take all the blame from this. All of his audience, it's my fault.
Joe and Bourbon have a bad influence on me. So,
Did I see that Kelsey got thrown out of a game the other day? I saw some kind of video.
Ooh, I didn't recall that.
Okay.
You know what? I saw some of the highlights in that game, but I didn't see. I know he hit some sort of tight end record. I think he went over 10,000 yards receiving in his career. And by the way, you know where Travis Kelce's from?
Where?
Cleveland Heights.
Really?
Yeah. Another local product that has done great things for another NFL teams. He was ejected
on November 6th.
Oh, okay. So we're talking a little while ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I just saw the video on
you know what?
And it was very uncharacteristic of him.
Yeah, that is. I mean, he's an intense dude, but he's usually real respectful. I didn't see that. So interesting.
The ref threw a flag at him and he threw his towel at the ref.
Okay. Okay.
And then he got ejected.
All right. Well, hey, you can't do that shit. So can't do that stuff. All right. Well,
we need a balance. If a bad call, you should be able to throw your flag right back at him.
Did you see the ref? He threw a flag and then he didn't have another flag, so then they throw their hat. Yeah.
I throw my hat. They keep throwing crap at each other until we come to some conclusion.
Yeah. I'm going to just throw shit and drink and be merry. All right. So with that said, let's close the book on the NFL. I'm going to just move quickly over to the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they finally picked up a road win last night. They are 18-11 on the season. They are third in the Eastern Conference. They are second in the Central Division behind the Milwaukee Bucks. Their offensive rating is 10th best in the NBA. They're scoring 113.8 points per 100 possessions. Their defensive rating, number one in the NBA, allowing 107.5 points per 100 possessions, which puts their net rating at a 6.3, which is second best in all the NBA. Very, very, very impressive stuff there. They are 12-2 at home, only 6-9 on the road, but they're, you know, they're improving. They're a young team. 13-4 against the Eastern Conference, 5-6 against the Western Conference, 5-7 against the Western Conference, but doing some really, really good stuff. They are also 4-0 in overtime games this season. Last night, Donovan Mitchell posted his 14th game of 30 or more points this season versus the Dallas Mavericks. And Lamar Stevens, who doesn't get a whole lot of hype, doesn't get a whole lot of credit, but usually comes in. He has come into a starting role for the Cavs, playing that small forward position, guarding last night Luka Doncic, who's one of the better players in the NBA. And playing like some really, really good defense. But last night scored 18 points and grabbed 11 rebounds. He was also a team best plus 22 on the night. So good stuff for the Cavs. Now, the Cavs, as we know, have sort of their four main, whatever you want to call them, stars, you know, whatever it might be. But the Cavs have four legitimate solid players on their team with some really decent depth behind them. So let's go with Darius Garland on the season, 21 points a game, 2.5 rebounds, nearly 8 assists and 1.3 steals. Evan Mobley, the sophomore out of USC, I say sophomore, but in his second season, showing very consistent play, 15 points, 9.4 rebounds, 2.7 assists, and 1.3 blocks per game. Jared Allen, to me, now, obviously, you know, Donovan Mitchell is the MVP of the Cavs or the best player on the roster, but you could argue Jared Allen is the most important player on the team based on what he does on the defensive end for the team, for the Wine and Gold. 14.2 points per game, 10.3 rebounds, 1.4 assists, and 1.3 blocks on the season for the big man out of Texas. And then you got Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell, again, 14 30-point games just this season alone. 29.2 points per game, 4 rebounds, 4.7 assists, and 1.2 steals from the guard from Louisville. Now, the December schedule, the Cavs are 4-3 right now. They have an upcoming 6-game homestand. Here's what's next over the next couple games. You got Friday, you're at home versus the Pacers. Saturday, you host the Dallas Mavericks again. And Cleveland has this big population, Kevin. What's the nationality I'm thinking of? Croatian population up there. So Luka Doncic from that area will have a huge backing up in Cleveland in that Saturday game. Then you host the Utah Jazz. You're going to welcome a former couple Cavs into town, Lauri Markkanen, Colin Sexton, and then you're home against the Milwaukee Bucks next Wednesday. So Cavs, it's going to be nice for them. They'll be able to get home, get healthy, you know, sleep in their own beds. So they're going to be home for about 2 weeks, which is really nice for a young team. All right, so I just want to point out a couple of little points. I've been like kind of preparing behind the scenes some Ohio State Georgia stuff. So I'll do a whole preview show of that just on its own coming up. But I was doing some research and looking at some things. So Ohio State is currently a 6.5-point underdog against Georgia, the Georgia Bulldogs. That game will be New Year's Eve, obviously the playoff for the college football national championship. But Ohio State has only been an underdog 10 times since 2012. 10 times. So in 10 years, Ohio State has been an underdog. They have won straight up 8 of those 10 games. So 2012 versus Michigan State, they were a 2-point underdog. They won that game straight up. 2012 versus Wisconsin, 1-point underdog, won that game. 2013, they were never an underdog. 2014, they were an underdog 4 times, and that was the year they won the national championship. Beat Michigan State, beat Wisconsin, beat Wisconsin, by the way, 59-0 in that game. Beat Alabama, which was maybe the biggest win in Ohio State's recent history, even bigger maybe than the national championship against Oregon, which again, they were underdogs in that game. But look at this, 2015, 16, and 17, never an underdog the entire season. 2018 against Michigan, they were 3.5-point dogs, won that game straight up. 2019, that is their first loss. That was Ryan Day's first year as head coach. And arguably, they should have won that game, lost it in the final minute there to Clemson on a miscommunication between Justin Fields and Chris Olave. But a really, really good game. The national semifinal the following year, they were a 7-point dog to Clemson, blew them out. I think they won by 28 points in that game. And then they took on Alabama the next game in the national championship in 2020. And Alabama was an absolute juggernaut that year. And they, I think they lost that game by 28 points. But last year, never an underdog, even though they did lose two games. And then this year, this will be the first time this season where they're an underdog, 6.5 points, as I mentioned. But a lot of the what's called sharp money is going towards Ohio State. A lot of the betting public is putting money on Georgia, but the sharp money is going towards Ohio State, which sharp money are generally betting experts. So it's good to know. It's a nice premonition for what could be in that game. And again, it's pretty early on, but Ohio State and Georgia have only played each other one time, which is really hard to believe. You have to go all the way back almost 30 years to the 1993 Citrus Bowl in Orlando, Florida. Georgia came out with a 21-14 victory. Ohio State's quarterback that day, Kirk Herbstreit. So that shows.
Don't even know who that is.
I mean, my goodness, that shows you how long ago that game was. Just crazy. And then I just put this together before. I was thinking, I was like, okay, so the last time Ohio State was an underdog with one loss, they were the number 4 seed as they are this year. They played the number 1 team from the SEC in the South. They're doing that again. The last time was against Alabama, and we know how that game went. They won that game straight up. Ezekiel Elliott, one of the greatest calls ever. But, you know, Ohio State fans will always refer to this as 85 yards through the heart of the South. He took a handoff and just went the distance. No one there. If you can see in the picture, number 54, the guard Billy Price, he's actually from Austintown, Ohio. He started on that team and laid a key block to spring Ezekiel Elliott in that run game. So that was pretty awesome. And then one final note, this coming weekend, you got the Stag Bowl, which is the Division III National Championship, which will feature Mount Union versus North Central. That game is in Annapolis, Maryland, which is the home of the Navy Midshipmen. This is the, their 22nd appearance in the Stag Bowl, and they're going for their 14th. National championship. And Joe, as we mentioned, just some great football players and coaches in this area. So good luck to Mount Union this weekend. So
I will tell you that the bowl games are my favorite parts of the season in sports. I love watching bowl games.
It's just so much fun. It really is. And you got Christmas. I think I'm pretty sure a lot of the bowl games are coming up starting this weekend. And it's just pretty cool. So it's a fun time of year. I know it's stressful. I know it's busy, but maybe you can sit down for a little bit, watch some football and have some fun and maybe drink some bourbon or throw back a Christmas ale or whatever. Speaking of that, you'll be at the Penguin City thing tonight.
I will.
Looking forward to that. Should be fun. Should be interesting. So to say the least, but Jeremy and Grace from Youngstown Pizza Reviews, who you go ghost hunting with all the time.
Right.
Should be a fun time. What are you looking forward to tonight?
Food. I'm looking forward to some. I don't get to eat pizza very often.
Yeah.
And you know, they're not gonna bring bad pizza when their name is Youngstown Pizza Reviews.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And they have wine and beer. I mean, what can you
absolutely
ask?
So everybody go into that. Have a great time tonight. Thanks for watching the 330 Sports Show on Youngstown Studio. For Joe Danier, my name's Justin Coffin. We will see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would